This is the Real Royal Family Podcast with your co-host Valerie Wright, and we're here to take back your crown and the jewels that are on it, the jewels of your life, your joy, and your purpose. Only God's love and power can conquer trauma. Now, this is not virtual reality. It is spiritual reality. It is not a game, but we are going to treat it as a challenge to destroy what is destroying you. And God's word says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." Let's get it. Get it. Get it. Welcome to episode 3 of the Real Royal Family. And flying this supernatural plane, we have the Holy Spirit, who is a wonderful, marvelous counselor. And you have your co-pilot, and my name is Valerie Wright. So welcome aboard. So this episode is called Let's Get Salty. Let's do a recap from episode 1 and then episode 2. And we're also going to show you how to pick an avatar and how to remove sludge. Oh, it's going to be interesting today. And tracking devices. And then we're going to also have links to quest number 1, Escaping the Wizard's Cage. And also there's going to be a Escaping the Wizard's Cage manual. So now in this episode, let's recap first. So you were snared and kidnapped by a wicked, violent man. And remember, that's according to Psalms 140. Who poisoned you and whom have slick tongues like snakes. They now have you caged and are using you for bait to keep you ensnared and also as a trap for others. So you are essential. So you are essential and very valuable. And like that movie, The Man in the Iron Mask, you are a king, but you are currently in a dungeon with a covering on you, a mask, a biosludge. And in the bait episode, you were challenged to sing the song and put God's mark on you. So you were challenged to sing it at least 20 times and then another 20 until you reached 100. Hopefully you've gotten to 500, because this is a blessing song and it's direct from God's word, number 6:22-26. And this song marks you, and the more you sing the song, the more you alter God's habitat around you. So you were kidnapped, violated, and tormented. Now, will you allow the murderer of your soul to go unpunished? We must destroy the thing that tried to destroy us. And how? We start small and we start having discipline in doing things every day. So every day, read Releasing the Power of the Blood. And this is on the Real Royal Family website. If you go to the Power Tool link and you scroll down, you will see all these different pictures of fire and light, warrior kings, knock out the darkness. And beneath each one of those, there are proclamations that change the atmosphere. So instead of a thermometer, you responding to what's going on around you, you become a thermostat. You create the environment of heaven around you. When the kingdom of light appears, darkness must flee. So let's go back. So we start small and we start every day by reading Releasing the Power of the Blood. And we are also soon going to be starting our quest. But right now, Lady Harriet Tubman, one of my favorite people of all times, she showed that doesn't matter what people label you as worthless, as a slave, as unintelligent, as stupid, God called her, all right? And she did it. And she never lost a passenger. And I'm your spiritual Harriet Tubman. I was sent to lead you away from slavery. Spiritual slavery, physical slavery, emotional slavery. I'm here to open up your eyes and heal your bruises. Harriet was known as the Moses of her people. She was a believer in God's word. One of her favorite quotes is, "Slavery is the next thing to hell. Let's get out of hell and let's bring heaven down to where we are. And then we also now will get other people out of hell. But first us, you first, you first." Just like in the airplane, something goes wrong, put oxygen on you first, and then you could help other people. Another Harriet Tubman quote was, "'Twant me, 'twas the Lord. I always told him, I trust you. I don't know where to go or what to do, but I expect you to lead me. And he always did. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. And on the earth, the Holy Spirit is God's representative, and he's in us. And that's why he's called Wonderful, Marvelous Counselor. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. However, we're going to see later that you can grieve him and cause him to go away. And then we don't want that, because if now we're getting out of this disgusting cage, stopping ourselves from being bait, now we're going to get out of the cave. But there's certain requirements. Father God is a judge, and he does everything legalistically, and he does everything right and in order. And the kingdom of darkness is also very judgmental, and they do things, and they're very petty, and they will twist stuff, and they'll do things illegally. But you have to know who you are and what kingdom you belong to and what your authority is. But right now, you've been brainwashed. And so during this quest, we have to first get you out of the cage. We got to stop you from being bait. Today's episode is Let's Get Salty. We want to get that bio sludge off of you. So Let's Get Salty is about destroying the bio sludge placed on you as a tracking device, like with a demonic tattoo. That's just an example. So often in these episodes, you will hear me use natural examples so you can understand larger spiritual principles. So let's say a person has, you know, a skull or some demonic tattoo on them, and they are now a believer and they are no longer in that life. Or sometimes people who are human trafficked, their demonic captors, people think it's just human trafficking, but it's really a demonic system. And so what they will sometimes do when you the person escapes and they track you down because of your bio sludge, you're easy to track. There is a spiritual tracking device. So I'm trying to let you envision it in the natural, like the bio sludge, the slimy stuff that's on a slug. So they've covered you with something. So let's say you have a tattoo on you that you put on voluntarily, maybe being a gang, or you thought it was artistic, you thought there was nothing to it, you've been lied to, or you were human trafficked and you had escaped and they put a tattoo on you. You can anoint that with oil. And what it will do is it seems like it's nothing, but the powerful, wonderful Holy Spirit will then go to work to release your allegiance and spiritually take out any snares or claws or thorns or any marking device that is within that tattoo. But just remember, it's not one and done. It is continually doing things all the time. But we're going to start small, and you have to be re-educated by your kingdom. So though the oil is to release your allegiance and dedication and the mark upon you from the kingdom of darkness, and then to bring you into your kingdom, releasing the power of the blood proclamations, launches stealth missiles into the enemy's camp. And when you do it at least once daily, you just upset them. And you know, when you go to the manual, you will see what releasing the power of the blood does. It's a shield, it's a cloak, it's a protector. It keeps you stealth. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean nothing's going on. So getting rid of the snot-like sludge on you and in you requires some psyops. So what are psyops? Okay, so the word psyop comes from two words and shortened or put together. So it's a military operation term. And this is an intelligence information, because this quest is to get you out of the wizard's cage and into freedom. It's going to be a trek, but we're going to have fun doing it, because we're not going to allow our emotions and the lies told to us make us believe that we are still captured. That's a trick of the mind. So psyops is psychological operations. They are military operations aimed at influencing the enemy's state of mind through non-combative tactics. Now, in your current state, you are caged. You have been miseducated. You are a frenemy. friendly enemy. No such thing. It's an enemy or it's not an enemy. Amen. But you are a frenemy to yourself, your destiny, the one true living God, and others. So as your spiritual Harriet Tubman on our trek from bondage to a land of freedom, something must also change inside of you so you do not start to murmur about how burdensome freedom is. So getting rid of the sludge requires PSYOPS training. So here is some PSYOPS training, and we went through it in episode 1, Snared, and episode 2, Bait. But in this episode 3, Let's Get Salty, we're going to start with Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Now this is the Amplified. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. So in the Amplified, they usually give you parentheses so you can understand what each word means. So after clamor, it says perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice. And in parentheses, of malice is all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Okay, and continued on. The scripture says, be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, in parentheses, it says compassionate, understanding. Continuing, the scripture says, forgiving one another, in parentheses, it says readily and freely. And continuing the scripture, just as God in Christ also forgave you. This is Valerie. I'm your spiritual Harriet Tubman. Harriet was a slave. She had to get free from things also. And so I'm just letting you know, you are not alone. And that's why I was sent. I'm a special agent. Moses was sent. He's a special agent. Harriet Tubman was sent. Special agents. It takes a special kind of person to go back and give people who sometimes might fight you. But if you're commander in chief and you're God and you're monarch and the one that died for you said, go get my people, then I shall go. So let's start with bitterness. Bitterness can also be known as harshness, an embittered or resentful spirit. Resentment, lingering ill will towards a person for a real or imagined wrong. Now you guys have real wrongs. These are not just slights that happened. If anybody has, you know, a quote unquote right to be resentment, it would be someone like you. Was violated and tormented. But I'm here. This is an intelligence briefing, okay? PSYOPs were done on you to make you bait for others and also bait so you can keep ensnaring yourself. Clamor, outcry, a shout, cry, clamoring against one another. Anytime you hear people loudly arguing with another person or on a phone, listen, if you don't agree with somebody, then there's really no need to continue going on. You go your way and I'll go mine. But what you're not gonna do, you know, a long time ago I was talking to this one guy and I was like, hey buddy, it's, you know, it's all right, it's not that. And he's like, no, I'm gonna give him a piece of my mind. And I stopped and I said to him, he was a brother at church with me, and I said, you mean the PEAC of your mind? You're giving that man the piece that's in your mind? And he stopped and paused and looked at me. He goes, ha, ha, ha. He just laughed. He's like, yeah, you got me. You got me. I said, don't allow it, because that person is going to do what they're allowed to do. You stay in your lane and you drive yourself to freedom. You escape the wizard's cage first, okay? So clamor is just making noise, being loud, you know, you're trying to let other people know they can't hurt you. But in that shouting and all that clamor, you are broadcasting through a megaphone how hurt and fragile you are. That's not real strength, okay? And, you know, I can understand, but it's part of the miseducation. So moving on from clamor, we're going to anger. Anger is violent passion. It's abhorrence. By implication, it's wanting to punish another. One of the, in word etymology, the root word anger is also has the same root word as strangle. So when you are angry or anger at someone else, a lot of people say, so what? I do want to strangle them. That's how people particularly intimate relationships, family, intimate partner relationships, you're battling with each other, and then you just say, oh, I just want to strangle you. People don't mind having a vision in their mind of them strangling another person, but the strangle happens also to you. So you think you're strangling another person, but you are also strangling yourself. Don't go for the bait. Don't be the bait. Don't go for the bait. Peace be still. Okay, so let's go to slander. Slander is abusive language. Ouch. I've done it. It's been done to me. And I've said, wow, I wonder why people are talking so bad about me. I've talked about other people I had no business talking about, but I was miseducated, okay? So slander is abusive language, blasphemy, vilification, defaming, smearing another. Now, blasphemy is the act of insulting or showing contempt or lack of reverence for God. Here's the B side of blasphemy. And this is usually why people blaspheme God. Here you go. You ready for it? Drum roll. So the B side of blasphemy is the act of claiming the attributes of a deity. So people want to be God. And so they talk bad about the one true living God, the creator who created everything. And then they get angry at him. Why'd you allow this to happen to me? He's not really God. Look at all this stuff that's going on in the earth. And when people say that, oh, well, they can't be a God. Look at all the evil that's going on. And how could he let this happen? And I turn around and say to them, why are you letting it happen? And then they stop and they look at me. This is why my circle of friends is very small. You were put on this earth as a territory taker and as a small king for the capital king, the King of Kings, Jesus. And not only that, but you have someone who works with you to maneuver this realm so it can't take you over. So instead of taking on the knowledge of the kingdom that you came from, you got Stockholm Syndrome and you started taking on the attributes and feeling sorry for the people that bamboozled you. But your girl, Valerie Wright, the spiritual Harriet Tubman, is here to let you know about the psyops, the psychological operations that you have been miseducated by. Because that's the goal, is for you to scream and raise your fist at God, the only one that can save you. Okay? Are the scales falling off your eyes? Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit. So let's continue with Ephesians 4. So along with every form of malice, so that's badness, depravity, or trouble, spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Spitefulness is having or showing a desire to cause someone pain or suffering for the sheer enjoyment of it, wanting to harm and block others from joy or progress. Now, here's a quick quiz, and you'll know the answer. Does this sound like what witches do? Does this sound like what witches do to anybody here? Yeah, it's all vicious. This is why this thing is really, really, it's stealthy. The clincher is coming, so hold on, and I've already dropped some hints to you. So we are getting to the necessity for being salty and getting salty, okay? But we're going to get salty the Holy Spirit way, not the way... Not bitterness like the world talks about, okay? So in Ephesians 4, 31 to 32, we're going to now read the King James Version, just so it's straight through without all the parenthetical inserts. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, that's also one to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as even God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So be ye kind one to another. You go into Strong's Concordant and it says, be ye kind each other. It's a reflexive pronoun. Okay? And that means it starts to go to himself, herself, itself. So reflexive means directing or turn back on itself. So be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving to others also does that for, remember the anger and the strangling we just talked about? So when you're kind and tenderhearted and forgiving to others, it is a stealth weapon, okay? So when you are mean, spiteful, evil, loud, perverted to others, you are planting the seeds of destruction in your own garden, not theirs. Now, if in return of one person being nasty, cursing at another person, and now that other person turns and chooses to be nasty and curse out in return, instead of the evil destructive seeds being planted in the originator's garden, the person on the receiving end does it back, and now they plant the seeds in their garden. Now, one of the phrases that I always love to use is, what I'm not going to do is let Satan win. So if I have a situation with another human being, as did happen to me, I had a supervisor curse me out, and I chose to remain calm and look straight ahead. And as a Sigma female and a deep down warrior, it wasn't easy, but it took me years to get there. So I just wouldn't take the bait. Years before that, I would have been, I should have said this, I should have said that. Silence can't be misinterpreted, okay? So just be still, he says, and know that I am the Lord. And he says, vengeance is mine. One day I'll tell you what's going on this current job, the job before that, and the one before that. God had to show me who he was. And so as you heard me talking about bitterness and resentment and all those other things, God had to show me that I have you in my arms and you are protected by me. You are Psalm 91 by me. You don't have to do anything. Let me protect you just like a real father. And he had to let me see it. And as some of us have grown up in households without our fathers there, and our Father God has to show us what a real father is. And particularly if God have mercy on you, it was a relative, male or female, that violated you sexually, then you really need the washing of the word, and you need to be recalibrated, and you need to understand that that was evil, it is not acceptable, and that you now have to be rinsed off and you have to be re-educated so you don't get destroyed. But let's go back to the lesson. When someone, let's say, presses a button on you and you respond in unkindness and you do the same thing back to them, they're nasty and snarky to you and you're nasty and snarky back. Now you both, instead of one garden of evil seeds, you now have two gardens, and you did it to yourself and they did it to themselves. So as of today, in the mighty name of the Holy Spirit, may you have wisdom from on high, and may the Holy Spirit, your wonderful and marvelous counselor, put a gate on your mouth. So when you think about planting wicked, evil, filthy, and dark seeds in your own garden, you will just choose the peace of God and keep your mouth shut, and you will begin to sing, Lord bless me and keep me, make your face to shine upon me, be gracious to me, Lord turn your face toward me and give me peace, and put your mark and your name on me. Okay, so we haven't left the cave yet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We haven't left the cave yet. So do not allow the damage from darkness to keep you enslaved. Do the work to destroy that which is destroying you. Now, I'm exposing their tactics so you can get free. You can get off the hamster wheel, let go of their traps, unhook their snares from deep within you, and so you can leave to never return. But even better than getting free is you can now destroy the spiritual root, the demons that are in other people and set other people free, just like you were a captive, but it's always you first. Okay, so just get you free first. And if I could give you a word of advice, you don't need to share what you're doing with anybody. Get free first, because there are saboteurs and there are frenemies. I used to teach a Bible study out of my house. And in one lesson, there was a young woman that was there, and I was teaching the lesson to get you free first. And she was like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I like helping other people. And I began to ask her a series of questions, and we will get through this as we go through the quest. And she couldn't answer any of them, so she didn't have any direction. She had no idea what mile marker she was at, because she didn't have any direction. She didn't know where she was going. She had no map. And so she said, well, I still believe it's right to help people. I said, because that's what people have taught you to do. And there's nothing wrong with helping other people. But if you are not in the position to get you right, you don't have enough provision to take up any of your stores and help anyone else. And so she said, well, you know, I just don't, you know, agree with you. And then I took her to some Bible scriptures, and we will go through that later. But the example that I use to her, and this is no insult to any person who is selling their body for drugs, but I said to her, I said, so let's say you see that one of your high school friends, junior high school friends, is now what they call a crack whore or fentanyl or whatever the current drug is now. And they're selling their body in order to get drugs. And that is a spiritual problem. And I pretty much can guarantee you people who have done that, they have been molested as children. But let's go back. And so I said, would you let them move in with you? And they said, yes. I said, now, what can that person give you? And I said, and it's a very loving gesture, but if that person has anger, hurt, abuse, being trafficked, being used as a human condom, either male or female, inside of them, what is the fruit going to be? So what can they give to you? So she was really quiet. Well, they could be nice. I was like, absolutely. Nobody is fully evil all the time or fully good all the time. I said, but what is going to come out and going to be continual moments of strife between you two is that they don't have love, joy, and peace, and goodness, and long suffering inside of them. So they are full of torment, and all they can show you is the torment that they are full of, and that they're going to be bitter and resentful. The fact that it seemed like you had everything go right for you in your life and everything went bad for them, and they're going to start to make your life very difficult. And she paused and she admitted, she goes, you know what, you're right, I actually had that happen. And I said, and they're not bad people, they're just injured people, they're porcupines, and they're shooting off quills. They don't know how to not do it. But that is why you are listening to the Real Royal Family podcast, and you're also going to be part of the Real Royal Family quest. And quest number one is escaping the wizard's cage. Okay, so that is what this intel is about. So now we're going to get back. So let's get salty. Let's get salty has two meanings. First is that it gets that slimy topping off of the slug. So to destroy it, slugs destroy people's gardens, and people sometimes will cover them with salt. And what that does, it gets right through and dissolves a protective slime layer. And sometimes it destroys the slug, the harmful animal. Sometimes it doesn't. We're using that as an analogy. So that biofilm was placed there by your enemy onto you to keep you isolated, insulated from goodness. Okay? To keep you isolated, insulated, and keep you in the dark, and to keep you feeling gross. And so by us being salty, what we're doing is we are getting that biofilm off you. So the salt comes from speaking God's word, releasing the power of the blood, seeing the tools of the kingdom of darkness, and stop being bait to ensnare yourself and others, to plant evil seeds in your garden. You have to eat, all right? So if you're going to eat poison fruit, then you're going to keep accelerating your death spiritually and naturally. Slugs are gross and they can cause paralysis. In an instance where a human has eaten it, that person got a rare form of meningitis because they have parasites. And so also if your pets eat them, you'll see vomiting, excess drool, and that's the dog or cat's defense system trying to expel whatever's in the slime. So slugs destroy your garden. And in the words of Lady Harriet Tubman, and in the words of your spiritual Harriet Tubman, your Sigma female, Lady Valerie Wright, we don't wound snakes, we kill them. So we don't move slugs or transport them or their slime. We destroy them. You are not a slug, but you were slimed, and salt removes the bio sludge. So let's get salty. So salt of the earth. I'm going to go to Colossians 4:6 in the King James Version. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So that ye, when you're reading it in the King James Version, means you. I like to read the King James. And sometimes the Amplified, the Passion Translation is one of my favorites, but they don't have the Old Testament and also the Message. And so what I do is I look and I compare, and so I can understand. I like to understand because the Holy Spirit wants us to understand. Also, let's just take a quick break. When you go to therealroyalfamily.com, you can hit the Power Tools tab, and you could also hit the Royal Crown Club. But right now, the focus is to get out of the cave, okay? So you were in a cage. You're being used as bait by the kingdom of darkness to destroy you and others, lure them into the cave, into their own cage, so they can be isolated and have miserable lives and curse God, the one true living God, the creator of everything, and turn their back from him. And so they can start to worship some imitation God, which sometimes can be themselves, so they can stay ensnared. The goal of that kingdom is to get you to turn your back on the one thing that can get you free, okay? So when you go to Colossians 4:6, and it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And Matthew 5:13 also talks about salt. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now, isn't that what the other kingdom is trying to do to you? Keep you? We're supposed to have our foot on the devil's neck. Men aren't supposed to have their feet on our neck. But when you are captured, kidnapped, miseducated by Babylon and Egypt and Sodom and Gomorrah, you begin to spout their wicked, evil teachings, which snares you further down into their pit of darkness until they no longer have any use for you, and then they will get rid of you and eventually everybody else that you led into that pit. So we are to be preserved and flavorful, infused with the very love of Christ and his Holy Spirit living in us as believers. So let's look at some, not just benefits and qualities of salt. Salt draws out the good flavors subtly hidden in the food. Now, here's the side portion of that. Which flavor and which agenda is tasted depending upon what's in you? So we are called to be salt from our kingdom. So if you are from the other kingdom, and you are salt, that means you're bringing out the flavor of the kingdom of darkness. But if you're from the kingdom of light and you're full of love and peace and power, then that's what will come out of you. So salt preserves what would otherwise spoil. So you are to help yourself and help save people, not send them to hell. Okay? Salt fends off decay, so we are encouraged not to kill or destroy, okay, but to fend off decay. Salt heals and soothes. It has a medicinal value. Salt brings flavor as a seasoning. Salt should be fine-grained and of high purity. You should be fine-grained, highly tuned into your kingdom, and of high purity. Remember what we said about purity in episode 1 and 2, snared and bait? Okay, so purity is power, and impurity is weakness and impotence. Salt is a mineral substance of great importance to human and animal health, as well as to different industries. Salt melts snow and ice, and my kind of favorite is essential in the making of ice cream. In English, the term salt of the earth describes a person held in high esteem. A Persian phrase, namak haram, excuse me if I missaid that, Persian listeners, it means untrue to salt, which translates to you're disloyal or ungrateful. Salt is therapeutic for sore muscles, healing, weeping and oozing wounds, and salt is essential to the health of both people and animals. You know, like certain times in the winter where people will put out salt licks for the deers and the antelope. So now we're going to move on a little bit. There will be a link at the bottom of this description about how you can design your avatar. An avatar is a representation in the game. Okay, so what it's doing is it's painting over the lies, the miseducation that the kingdom of darkness has put on you. And now, since every person is different, but there's usually a certain set of lies that they put on you, is that you're not beautiful, you're not loved, or you're not smart. Okay, unloved, not beautiful, not smart. Which one of those triggers are working on you? It's usually two, but I've actually found people that have three. Could put you in knots, so you have no way of knowing which way is up, down, or sideways. So let's go back to the avatar. So there'll be a link in this note description about the avatar. So avatar is representative of who you were designed to be, not who you are. So your avatar should have warrior attributes. So in biblical times, kings had kingdoms, and in order to even be considered as a candidate for a king, you had to be a warrior. Warriors win territories, defeat armies, spiritual and natural. Warriors protect the valuables of the kingdom, the women, the children, and the widows, lands, and the kingdom's wealth. So men fought no matter how old they were. If you are with a man who does not protect or provide for you, you need to examine which miseducation system is running. So either you're not smart, you're not pretty, or you're not loved. So that means some translates to you need to settle for this bum living and being in a relationship with you. The word says if you do not work, you do not eat. That is the best way to create a parasite. So if you do not work, you do not eat. So let's go back to men fought no matter how old. Abraham, between 80 to 85 years old in Genesis 14 verse 13, is informed of Lot's capture. So Lot is his nephew. Abraham's immediate response is to arm 318 of his trained servants and pursue to get Lot back. And he won. So like with fake, soft, entitled, air quoting kings born into the position, in our kingdom, which is the true kingdom and the real kingdom and the standard by which everything needs to be done, you gotta fight. And your first territory that you have to fight for is your mind. You have to put on the mind of Christ. You have to understand what is going on, that you are being bamboozled, being rocked to sleep, being given the okie doke. And I'm here to shake you up awake. You better get up. You don't let somebody just destroy you and you sit there and take it. You either gonna live or you gonna die, but you better not live as a slave. Who is more important than you? No one, because God made only one you, and so you have a purpose and you have a calling. So you better get up and do it, because you're going to stand up in front of Christ and he's going to ask you, did you do what he sent you here to do? And you're going to say, well, I had this happen to me, I had that happen to me. And he's going to say, and I do understand that, and that wasn't my intention, but I also gave you my word, which has all power. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you or hurt you. So if you're feeling hurt and you're feeling harmed, that is a choice you made. I now bequeath and betroth to you Luke 10:19. You have the power. You get up and you shake off that sleepiness. I bind, cage, and chain the spirit of sleepiness, heaviness, oppression, and depression, and surrender. I bind, cage, and chain them and put them at the foot of Jesus to be tormented before their time in the mighty name of Jesus. Now you rise up and you do what you were purposed and born in this earth to do, to take territory for your king and his kingdom. You are part of a real royal family, the real royal family, and you have a job and you have a purpose, okay? So it's time. You got to take back your calling from the enemy. So the first territory is your mind, your body, your soul, your destiny. Take it back. You don't ask for it back. Thieves don't give stuff back to you. You take it back. And yes, women were also warriors in many different forms, like Deborah, like Queen Esther, like Moses' wife, Zipporah, like Rebecca, watering the flock. Remember, there were bears and lions that like to eat sheep. And if David had to battle them, you think Rebecca didn't? Okay. So however, in war situations, if women had to fight like Deborah, that means the men failed at fulfilling their primary roles as designed and designated by their creator, God, because God is a provider. He's a protector. He's a builder. And he's a giver of identity. And so he put us on this earth to be and imitate him. And we are to plug into him, stay plugged into him. But if you don't know that that is where the power comes from, you will unplug yourself from the socket, from the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of power, from the kingdom of truth, from the kingdom of joy, from the kingdom that wins and is indestructible. And you'll allow yourself to be retrained by the loser. And he's already lost the kingdom of darkness. He doesn't create anything. He imitates everything. But he's got a slick tongue. Remember we did that in Psalm 140 in the last episode, okay? That slick tongue with poison in the fangs, okay? So don't let it get close. Let's recap. We're going to get salty. We're going to get of high value. We're going to be atmosphere changers. We're going to be thermostats and not thermometers. You're going to choose your avatar. You're going to prepare for war and war training. According to Luke 10:19, we're going to release the atmosphere. We're going to sing the Numbers 6, verse 22 to 26 song. And we're also going to print out the quest one, Escaping the Wizard's Cage. Now, we're not out of the cave yet, all right? So once you choose an avatar, we're going to come back next week and we're going to start using the game board. We are going to have free avatar building links in the notes, the free game board link is in the notes, and the link to releasing the power of the blood. And so thank you for being part of the Real Royal Family podcast and quest. Shalom, shalom.
If you say you love Jesus, roll with him now. All the shots in the world ain't gold and his crown. He put the power in your hands, power in your words. It's dominated with the greatest Lord, praise him first. We are soldiers of Jesus.